All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the insider-only QS cast. So, like before, we've recorded one of these for just insiders before, and we wanted to do it again. We had a guest lined up that fell through this week, so in lieu of that, Tarkan and I are going to have two different recordings like before. So, what's up, Tarkan? What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on? So live in Discord as always. Again, this is just going to be for insiders. So it's going to be a little more informal, not usually like how we talk on the normal QS cast. So really on the docket, all we're really going to talk about is Modern Masters 2017. We've got some really big marquee spoilers, Fetch Lands, Damnation, a few other cards. So we're just going to try to navigate through what we're seeing. Tarkan, like I said, had a kind of an interesting take on this set and, you know, really pivoted at the last second. So I kind of wanted to go through your perspective on that one. And while it's not going to be more focused on interest and what we're acquiring, we are going to bring up in the general discussion about Modern Masters 2015 or 2017 about the cards that, you know, we're specifically looking at. And, you know, if X cards are reprinted or not, we still see them as strong buys. So Tarkan, I guess we'll just fire it off. I mean, general Modern Masters 2017. First off, yeah. What do you think so far? A lot of stuff going on.
I was I'm in a different time zone, and it was last night when stuff started coming in, and I was you know, kind of watching the craziness unfold, or the fire hose get open, should we say, with the hotness and what's coming, what was being spoiled. And man, I have to say, I mean, if there's any way to describe what's going on with this set, it's unpredictable and surprising. That is for sure. The first thing I want to say is that, and I think this is probably conscious on Wizard or Hasbro's part, is they really kind of that box art and the package art that we were all sort of discussing and theorizing on. I think they really threw us for a loop with that. I think that was actually probably deliberate. I mean, you know, we got stuff that really gave no indication of any kind of like marquee cards or stables, with the exception of what people are still thinking is Snapcaster. But that package art was, you know, kind of uninspiring for the most part, and didn't really allude to anything except perhaps the set was going to be uninteresting, which is what we were all sort of talking about. Then all of a sudden, they threw us for a loop, and here we are with fetch lands, and we still haven't seen any mythics yet, which just blows my mind. So, yeah, I am definitely surprised, and still kind of taking it all in. Definitely does change my perspective on the set, which we can talk to in a little bit more detail in a bit. But what about you, Chaz? What do you think?
So I didn't think there would be fetch lands, and I'm going to be quite honest on that. And I've been honest even earlier today when I recorded the Goldfish cast that I really didn't see them printing fetch lands. Thought if they were going to include lands, it would be the filter lands, which honestly would still be pretty good. It wouldn't be bad by any means. But it really feels like they're pulling out all the stops. And it makes sense. Like, how else do you sell a set where you have $10 packs? The previous set, you know, left something to be desired. It really, I mean, looking back on it, there was actually some pretty good cards in there, you know, all things considered. But it just left a general bad taste in everyone's mouth. So contrary to popular belief, you know, they do kind of listen and take player advice, you know, somewhat seriously. You know, they don't do it all the time to direct every single executive decision they make, because, you know, I don't think listening to the players all the time would honestly, I don't think Magic would have stuck around that long. But we do know a couple mythics. So assuming Grizzlebrand, I don't think they would downshift Grizzlebrand, and I don't think they would downshift Domri Raid. So right. I think we can etch in two mythics. But so far, I mean, short of, I mean, there's probably going to be a couple good cards in here. I mean, but short of, like, it's already solid. I mean, almost like the rest of the cards could be near bulk and it would still sell a lot of packs.
I was not into, I mean, I'm right there with you. I mean, I think we had, I think I'd said, we both said in multiple platforms, including this one, that we were not anticipating fetch lands. I suspected that was likely going to be put into a standard set to kind of as a savvy business move, which I think made sense. And if not, then it would have been in a supplemental. But I did not call it in this supplemental. I thought that there was extremely unlikely that was going to happen. So, yeah, I definitely missed. I think a lot of us missed the target with that one. I think most of us in the community were not expecting fetches in this. So yeah, that was crazy. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think right now the current EV at the box, and I haven't done the number crunching myself, but I think others have. And I think with this rare list right now, it sits at around between $280 and $300, which
yeah, obviously that's a little skewed.
That's but I mean that's around $40 plus per rare retail, and that's crazy to think. And again, we haven't had any official spoils for mythics, and I think you're right. I think we can safely assume that Domri Raid and Griselbrand are two of them, but we still haven't seen any chase mythic, which I think we have to assume that there's at least one chase mythic. It's possible that that is Snapcaster Mage. It's possible that the box art is Snapcaster Mage, and they put Snapcaster at Mythic. I think that would be unfortunate, but I'd like to see Snapcaster still at Rare. But the Rares are still.
I think if Damnation and the Fetches are at Rare, that's just me personally.
Sorry, say that again. You blanked for a second.
Oh, sorry. I said if they are leaving Damnation and the Fetch lands at Rare, I think they'll leave Snapcaster at Rare. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And I mean that means we haven't seen any chase mythics yet. I mean, now with assuming there's at least one, I mean, we've got so much EV sort of packed in the set so far that I'm under the assumption and I'm just going by the math that I love the mythics are not going to be that strong. I don't think we can have a rare cycle like this and still more to come and then have power, you know, have expensive mythics. I just think that would just send the value of the box a little too high. So I think that we're going to end up with a lot of Comet Storms at Mythic.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously going to be a bunch of stinkers riddled in this, and it will, all said and done, probably resemble Modern Masters 2015 somewhat. I mean, obviously you have the fetch lands, but it just won't be as top heavy. I think they shifted a lot of the value into the rare slot, so people don't have those feel bads where they, you know, open up a bunch of crap rares and that's like their $10 pack. So yep. it kind of just removes some of that variance where you're going to have a better chance at opening something worthwhile in your $10 pack. But I do think there's some good mythics left, and obviously there's still room for some good rares. But I mean, coming from this from a, you know, just a strictly financial perspective, you know, I think that it's this kind of design, we should be excited for this. I mean, I do think this is going to inject a lot of hype into Modern. And like I said before, you know, you don't need Modern to be a Pro Tour format to generate a lot of hype. And they actually, I mean, look how much hype it's generating. And I mean, you touched on this earlier. They didn't even like talk about this set. They didn't advertise for this set. They didn't talk about this set. They didn't even like hint at any of this set. They were talking about like Amonkhet all the time, like barely even, or like, oh yeah, by the way, like there's a Modern Masters coming up, whatever that means. And look, I mean, just by not saying anything, look how much interest is being generated just because the set has the cards are in there.
I mean, look, I'm the first to admit when I, you know, when I'm way off, and yeah, you know, I was theorizing that with no GPs built around this kind of seeing are the kind of cards that you would build events around a set to really, really, you know, just hype and just really launch a set. And they, I mean, they really went a different route with this. It's really interesting. And I'd be curious to know, I'd be really curious to talk to someone from the marketing team to see what the strategy is here. Because I mean, I got to believe that this was all sort of calculated and done fairly specifically in a way. And it's really interesting to see because I figured, listen, if you're gonna have something like fetch lands, you're gonna have a bunch of staples, you're gonna have events. I mean, you're gonna have this be like a huge release, and they didn't do that. So yeah, it's fascinating to see how much kind of organic hype it's gonna build. And you know, to your original point about my sort of stance in the set, look, as as late as last week.
Yeah, because you wanted to stay away from this set, so
Publicly telling people to avoid it. I was avoiding it. I wasn't touching it with a 10-foot pole. And it's late now. We're doing the cast now. And unfortunately, the 170 to 180 boxes are, I think they're all but gone. But I'm a buy. I mean, I'm a hard buy at this point. If you can get these boxes at at 100, I would even say $190, you're getting your money's worth. I mean, you are. You know, I think these are... These are primed to be MSRP boxes, value boxes. I think the dumping that we saw earlier was preemptive. We all know why it happened, but at this point, and like I said, I think now from my understanding, talking to other people in the community, that I don't even know if boxes under $200 are available anymore. But if you can get them at that price point, I would buy them. If this sealed product is your jam and Modern Masters is your thing, it's a snap buy at this point. I think it's pretty obvious. So yeah, I love the set so far. I mean, I hated it. I didn't hate it. I was very skeptical and I was avoiding it. And now if you can get them at a good price, I would go ahead and go for it. And look, we still have more stuff to be spoiled. You buy at $200. I mean, $190 or less, I think you're getting value. At $200, I think you're perfectly fine. I think you're doing okay. And there's going to be enough there for you to support the investment. And I mean, it's certainly possible that these hit I think that these can get up to 240 to 250 on hype after we start seeing more of the rares and mythics. So give it another week. It's certainly possible that these get up to, I think I'm targeting at 250, I think is where we see, assuming we have more sort of like high end staples, one or two more that are announced. I think these boxes could get up to 240 to 250.
Yeah. So even at the price right now, I think they're hovering between 2 and 210. With a reliable out, you're still making some pretty good returns on that investment. But this is the timeline that I see, and this kind of encompasses everything that I was talking about. Firstly, I don't think you're going to have the issue with Modern Masters 2015 where you just have, I mean, you still have a pretty hefty supply, but the thing is people are going to actually be buying the boxes. Like, you're not going to just have like all these boxes just sitting around. So I do think there's going to be a little bit more time for singles to rebound, but I'm kind of, me personally, I don't deal with a lot of sealed product. I don't have the means, well, not the means, but I just don't have the methods to get rid of them reliably. And just for me, it's just easier to deal with singles. But you know, if sealed product's your thing, I would be listening to Tarkan right now. The way I see this timeline going, so we have all the hype kind of in the beginning of the week, and I think it's going to kind of die down by the end of the week. I do think it will hit that price point, especially if we start getting by tomorrow or by Wednesday, you know, heavy hitters like Liliana the Veil, Snapcaster Mage, you know, I'm just throwing out cards like Blood Moon, stuff like if we start seeing more stuff like that, that they will hit 250. Like, that's pretty much a guarantee. I do think they will hover around there. And then by the time, you know, the stinkers come along, and you know, people realize it is kind of a rounded asset, I do think the hype will kind of die down, and then all that flooding of the market will happen. So I think you have to be kind of quick on those, so you're not left holding the bag. Because I just don't think this is not Modern Masters 1 anymore. They don't have that limited product where you could just like buy it and sit on it, and like another year you make like 400. You know, that's just kind of my thing. I would, you know, be out of these and not worry about it. But this is kind of my timeline. So all this hype, people are going to be selling. It's going to swell up to like 250, you know, as, you know, the stinkers get revealed and, you know, the full set is kind of spoiled and the hype kind of dies down a little bit. You will see the undercutting. That's pretty much natural. And then what I'm really interested in is the singles. Like, a single to me, like Damnation, they're already pre-selling at a discount. If everyone's buying these boxes, you're going to get some really sweet deals on these cards. I mean, you could have had them. There was a short window of time for Modern Masters 2015 because the set just really wasn't that good. People weren't cracking them so much. I mean, you did have the big GPs, but which helped. I mean, I think the only reason people were even cracking this stuff was because of the GPs. But you'll have a little bit of a bigger window to pick up these staples and at a bigger discount. So like, if something like Damnation hits like $20 or I really even hope under, like, that's a strong buy for me. And, you know, again, I talked about earlier in the cast, like some of these cards that I'm keeping. If something like, so I'm looking at cards like Damnation where, you know, you look at Modern Masters 2015, if what the reports we're hearing are true and that the supply is somewhere close to Modern Masters 2015, a lot of these cards will rebound, even at Mythic or even at Rare, because it really doesn't matter. Or, well, it does matter, but some of these cards are just marquee cards. And we saw this in Modern Masters 2015 where they just kind of dip and then go right back. I think Damnation is one of those. If I see something like Vornklek's Voice of Hunger, that's a big mythic I want to see in there. And if that's something that's printed, I would love to get half off Vornklek's. Like, that would be great for me. Like, so those are like some of the cards. So that's kind of the timeline I'm seeing. I'd be... I don't deal in sealed product anyway, but I'd be out of sealed product, and then I'd be really focusing on singles at like a discount, because I do think a lot of these will rebound.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating scenario, because, you know, if you take Cons, which Cons was a standard set that had fetches and infinite supply, right? And we can see what's happening with Cons sealed product, and yeah, the fetches have bottomed out, but those are bottomed out maybe at like $10 on average. But you have this is still a limited product. It's going to be a high print run, but it's still going to be, you know, limited. There's only going to be a certain amount of them. So what's going to be interesting to see is, you know, so far we have seven rare. We haven't seen all the mythics yet. I mean, we have a lot to go. And so typically what happens is, and this is very, I mean, this is publicly known and happens at events and whatnot, is that, for example, at GP Vegas for MM15, vendors bought all the Tarmogoyfs. They were buying Tarmogoyfs for $130. So what they were doing was they were setting the floor, essentially, for these prices for these cards. Same thing with Eternal Masters when Star City and Card Kingdom were paying $70 for Force of Will. They were essentially setting a baseline floor. So what's going to happen is, particularly I think with the fetch, like with this, the hard staples fetches, I don't know so much about Damnation, but we'll say if there's a Snapcast or something, the vendors are going to buy these all up and set the price for them. So if the set is still packed with a lot of staples, there's only going to be so much money to go around. And so some of these cards, like you said, Chaz, there's going to be things that fly really under the radar and end up inevitably going down a lot more than they probably should. And again, this is, my perspective has shifted a lot due to what we're seeing now happen. But because there's going to be so much hype, there's going to be so much buying activity and pricing activity around the marquee stuff, and there's going to end up being a lot of this, more of this is going to be open than MM2015, even if the supply is the same, simply because it's a more exciting set. So the pricing of some of this stuff, like you said, like a Vorinclex might end up dipping. I don't know about Damnation. I think Damnation is one of the staples that I don't see dropping under $30. That's just my prediction. I don't think there's going to be a $15 to $20 Damnation. I could be wrong on that, but I'm not calling that meaningfully under $30. But something like a Vorinclex, or there could be some of these mythics that are played, but they're just not so, there's not so much hype around them, and they dip to you know, just, they dip so low that it's like, oh, I have to, yeah, you got to buy in at that point. And then, yeah, there's an inevitable rebound period. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch what happens here. And I think you're right on that. I think you get out of the sealed boxes. I caught a couple last minute. I was able to pick up, you know, right before the flurry of the stuff hit. So I'm on the same track as you're saying. I'm going to be trying to outmine, you know, immediately within the first week or two, and then yeah, I want to see the price behavior. I'm actually really interested in see what happens with the fetches, and to see what the vendors are doing, and if they do what they usually do, which is kind of like they sort of establish a floor with their buy list prices. You know, if they're going to be buying them all up at $25, $30, it's pretty much, they're not going to dip much lower than that. So do you have a,
yeah,
do you,
I mean,
have
any, I was a little point? Like more, what?
Do you have a price point, like a target that you think the fetch is going to land at? I think it's going to be across the board around $30.
Ooh. Judging from what I'm seeing in pre-orders, so I'm just going by Star City. Obviously, you can shop around, but I'm just using this as a metric. They have Mesa at 40. They have Flats at 35, Misty at 40, and Scalding Tarn at 50. Yeah, I do think they'll be in the 35 to 40 range. Maybe Tarn holds a little bit more, but I do think they will dip a considerable amount. I mean, Scalding Tarn, if they're pre-ordering at 50, I think the retail right before the announcement, I mean, I think they were nearing, what, like $70? Let me double check. That's already a pretty big discount. I mean, if you can get them even lower than that, I think picking them up, like, they could swell back to, like, you know, $55, $60 within in a year's time. And if you're picking them up at 35, 40, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're buy listing them, if you're picking them up at 40 and you're buy listing them, you know, somewhere down the line for like $50, $55, I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's great.
The only reason I don't necessarily, I mean,
obviously you need the capital to be spending like that much on Scalding Tarns, but I don't think you're going to go wrong on that one.
Yeah, I don't foresee these rebounding to that price. I think we're looking at $30, these things being $30 you know, for the foreseeable future. I just think that with the combination of the KTK supply plus this new supply plus the old one, I think that's enough. I don't think that there's, you know, I just don't think that there's going to be, because you have to remember, I mean, and this is another point. Yeah, I mean, look, as these are hot and exciting, but, you know, there is budget versions. I mean, we have the cons fetches, which are budget versions that are available to the players that really still don't want to chalk out $25, $30 for even a reprint fetch land. They'll just go, you know what, I can just use a Delta and, you know, and get my blue or black mana instead of a Tarn, or my blue mana instead of a Tarn.
That's true, yeah. The fetches have to deal with that contention.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, the competitive market is going to want these Zen fetches to optimize their decks. But if you just look at the bigger picture, you know, we now have plenty of fetch lands available. So I don't know. And the other point I was going to make, I'm glad you kind of went into fetch lands, was I kind of foresee the Zendikar ones, the first runs, to be pretty much dead money at this point. I think they're gonna tank considerably, just like the Onslaught ones did. And the Onslaught ones didn't really recover meaningfully. I mean, I think they tanked to about $30, $40. And
a lot of the Onslaught fetches are like rivaling the cons pricing.
Yeah. So right, exactly. And so I think you kind of hopefully the second you saw any of these spoils, you got out immediately, or perhaps you were getting out of your fetch lands earlier, but you need to. I would say that Zen fetches are pretty much dead. And again, this is simply because at this point we have so many fetches. There's so many fetches now readily available that it's pretty much only like the most diehard collectors or people that just happen to like old borders that are going to really care. And that's a very, very small population of people that it's not enough to prop these prices back up. So,
yeah, I do think there's enough meat on the bone. I personally wouldn't be investing a lot into that. Again, I'm looking at the cards that I feel have a stronger chance to rebound, like the Damnations, obviously being speculative, like the Vorinclex or something like that, where I know it has that casual appeal. Like, obviously, people like fetches and all that. And I do think there's opportunity there, but some of them probably will be, you know, they'll be put down for a while. Maybe Scalding Tarn again is like the outlier here.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not personally going, you know, deep into fetches, but yeah, I mean, I think
along your point, you know, if you look at something like Domri Raid is the kind of card that people look at it and go, oh, that's sort of a chaff mythic. Like, yeah, it's played, but I don't care about it too much. And then all of a sudden you see that thing dip into our sweet spot, which is around $5.
I mean, to be fair, it's already there. I don't know if you checked recently.
Right. So let's say, right. I hadn't checked, but so if that thing gets under, that thing gets down to $2-3, I mean, there you go. Like there's your snap buy right there, because that thing's going to end up, that's a played. That thing's established itself in modern.
Yeah. It's almost like it has nowhere to go but up, because it's just so cheap.
Exactly. It's only going to get there now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think this Modern Masters is going to create a lot more opportunities all around. Me personally, I think, you know, obviously I've been in Quiet Speculation for a while. I've covered the last Modern Masters. You know, we went through this before Tarkan. This is kind of a different animal in the sense that, you know, there's actually good stuff in the set that people want to buy. Like, you know, the last one was kind of like, you know, at least you had the GPs to kind of push the product, and we got a lot of, you know, product opened out of it. But we saw pretty quickly that a lot of those prices did rebound. I think a few of these might get damaged and not, you know, not ever kind of rebound, like the Restoration Angels and maybe even Goblin Guide at this point. But I mean, Goblin Guide's already half off. I mean, they were pre-ordering for $14.99. That's literally 50% off what it was. So I mean, if you're buying them, I still think there's meat on the bones, because again, they're already half off. You can still wait. I'm sure you could get a deal. They might even drop to $10, maybe even less. I mean, and I can't pass that up. Like, I just cannot pass that up, because they really can't go any, they can't like drop any more.
Sure. Yeah. It's fascinating, because, you know, we had Modern Masters 1, which was stacked like this is, presumably with no supply. We had Modern Masters 2, which was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't terribly stacked either way. It was okay and had huge supply. Now we're in a scenario where we have a set that has still has a limited supply, but is also stacked. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting. It's going to be a little difficult to predict what exactly happens. Again, because there's so many variables in here that people have to consider. Like I said, you know, vendor behavior drives a lot of the stuff, and they're going to pick staples that they. And they're going to buy them at a certain price point, which is going to set floors, which is going to change the value of how high the set can go overall, which is then going to affect what some of the other cards do. So this is really, really fascinating. And yeah, I have to say, at least from what I can recall, we haven't seen a set that has this sort of combination of elements, right? Like, you know, with something like when the last round of fetch lands came, it was in standard, which was infinite supply, and there wasn't really much. It wasn't a lot.
Sold a lot of boxes.
It was just on Fetchlands alone.
So, but this is a good thing. I mean, this is what you want in these for these sets because it creates a lot of opportunity. People are actually buying the product. The big X factor for me is if we see this weird. Oh, hey, there's another round 2017 for the summertime, or a few months from now the wintertime. Before the year wraps up, that's the real X factor to me.
Yeah,
because everything could be honky dory, and then they hit you with another big wave, and you're like, oh damn,
exactly.
What do I do now? Because it is going to take a little bit longer for these cards to rebound because so much of this volume is being opened. But that's still a good thing because that these cards are desired and they have the chance to rebound. They're pushing that product. And it creates a lot of opportunity to buy cards on a pretty big discount. And the thing is, so you have that aspect. And for me, which is even more paramount this time around, is the cards that aren't being reprinted. Obviously, there's cards not being reprinted. We get this every single time. But this time is even more so important because some of these cards are still one-time printings. So you're getting into this realm of, the cards from Theros block and cons and I guess stuff like that just weren't reprinted. So you see earlier today, I talked in the Insider Discord, Eidolon of the Great Revel is a great one because they printed the other staples in the set to bring down the price, Goblin Guide and Arid Mesa. So something's going to soak up that value. And that's pretty much the card that's going to soak up the value is the one-time printing card that you still need to play the deck. And you can't even find play sets of Eidolon under $30 now.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about all the opportunities it's going to bring. And there's just a couple that I'm going to keep on my radar, especially the EDH stuff like Damnation and stuff like that. Like if I see a price, like if I see 20, $25 on Damnation, I pull the trigger on that.
Right. So it's really interesting because, I think so many people in the community, myself included, expected something like Liliana of the Veil to be included. And at this point, all bets are off. We still think that there's that Snapcaster Mage from the box art. But I mean, at this point, I'm kind of like, well, all my assumptions can go out the window. And what that means is that particularly with like Liliana, I mean, if Liliana is not reprinted in this set, I mean, we're looking at that card could be the next Tarmogoyf. I mean, that could go. I would say that's 130 plus if it's not reprinted. I mean, if Liliana sits with one printing and doesn't come in this set and already carries nearly $100 price tag and has been fire sold now, which by the way, you might want to keep your eye and maybe have some copies of Liliana ready to buy in case it's not spoiled, because the $75 price point is just going to be incorrect for Liliana if it's not in this set. The card's going to bounce back up to over $100, probably possibly overnight once we find out what the full list is. But
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, these marquee cards. So it's really imperative to watch the things that aren't reprinted. I mean, you talked about Eidolon. That's a great one. Other people in the community were talking about that. I know Zemet Sells Magic. Jeremy Aronson was mentioning that last week, which I think is a great call. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like these cards in these decks that once all these reprints hit and because so much of the money is laced up in fetch lands or in this stuff. And then once these prices drop, there's going to be opportunity for these cards to soak up that value. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it is imperative. And we talked about this before. I mean, we've been harping that this set in particular, you need to watch what's not reprinted. And things like Gifts Ungiven, which we've been sort
of... Yeah, still, that's a strong... I think it's a pretty much a 95% chance it won't be in the set.
Yeah, you know, and we've been bullhorning that card for the past couple of weeks.
I mean, it's been steadily increasing. And I think people are catching on that it's not going to be reprinted.
Yeah, and I mean, even stuff that saw a reprint from Modern Masters, like Karn, you know, I mean, Karn is actually trending on the interest page. And if that doesn't get a reprint, you know, that could even go higher. So
it's crazy to think, but it's, you know, some of these cards, like even like Karn, and you know, obviously Tron is really strong and modern right now, but they have surpassed their previous price point, even with a print reprinting.
Yeah. Yep.
Karn is at its highest it's ever been, even with the reprint. You know, Mox Opal.
I mean, the general takeaway here, I would say, is, you know, just to kind of sum up the general points are, one, buy the boxes at 200 or less, you're fine if you want to be on sealed product. Two, there will likely be this period of 1 to maybe 2 weeks where the sealed product spikes to 240 to 250. In which case, I'm outing any boxes that I have, and if you're looking to make a quick profit, I would do the same. Three, then just begin monitoring singles, as Chaz is talking about, which is there's going to be
a couple months. I think that within the first 2 months is when you're going to find.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of crazy volatility around this because we have vendors that are going to be buying things at really high prices, setting floors, which means cards are going to have opportunity to dip really low and then have a chance to rebound. So watch that. And make sure as soon as we get the full list, you're hunting down the staples that aren't reprinted, particularly something like Liliana of the Veil, Gifts Ungiven. We talked about Eidolon of the Great Revel, which is definitely not going to be in the set. I think, was there another one, Chaz, that you were talking about?
I mean,
about?
Even like Nykthos, Shrine of Nyx, like all those little cards that you don't think about suddenly, you know, start trending because, I mean, assuming you have another like 2 years before those cards are even touched.
Oh, Horizon Canopy, which already has begun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's already, I mean, that's a little late on that one. I think what happened here is that people are, they're crunching down the numbers for the lands. And I think Horizon Canopy was one that was pretty much.
Yeah, and Grove, but I don't think anything even plays Grove anymore.
Yeah, I think Horizon, and I think Grove also started to jump as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, possibly the filter lands might even see some gains from this. And I think actually referring to the point of the lands, I think the numbers were showing that Cavern of Souls is definitely still has a place it can go.
I think that has to be the land that's in there.
Yeah, the I think
that has to be it.
Yeah, and then Maze's End, I think was shown to not be. It couldn't be.
Man,
in there,
that would suck. But hey, it would be a stinker. That's for sure.
Well, no, the calculations were that Maze's End won't fit at this point.
Oh, won't be. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's going to be some opportunity. And also, you know, with these gate cards, I think that means that we could see some commons and uncommons that are based around these gate cards and this multicolor theme, which it's really fascinating. I think it's really cool that they went with this multicolor theme this time because they didn't really do that before with the Masters.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a great summary. So if you wanted to go back and listen to it, that's a really great summary. Just a real quick point. You mentioned a price point that you're comfortable with if you're buying in the 210 range. If you bought them before it reached that price. So if you got in like 180 or under 200, what's the price point that you're looking at?
Like
225? Yeah.
225. Yeah. I think 225 after fees and I don't know if you're selling on TCG Player. If you're on a platform that's going to give you fees, and then you got to keep in mind shipping these things is awkward because of the way that they design these Masters boxes, they don't fit in the normal $5-$6 shipping packaging. You have to put them in larger packaging, so you're going to pay a little bit more in shipping. So I think 225, 230 is healthy, and that should be more than reason. It should be easy to get that point by the end of the week.
All right, so questions time. I'm wondering if Liliana of the Veil will even get reprinted. I appreciate the optimism, but I don't see supply and demand hitting 250 with everybody saying that distributors are giving stores as much product as they want. Yeah, that's still a mystery. But the last thing we've been hearing is that there's still relatively the same size of print run as Modern Masters 2015. It's just that certain stores are getting huge allotments because of their, right, you know, their status. So it's just giving the illusion that there's more. And there could be a little bit more than before, but just how much more, I don't think there's like five times as much or something like that.
Yeah, and we're not, I'm not also, I don't know if the 250 price point's going to stick. I mean, same thing with Eternal Masters. You know, those things got to $300 for a couple of weeks. I don't know if that's going to necessarily hold, but I don't see it unrealistic during the hype period at all, especially with what we've seen so far. And assuming we get some more chase cards, I don't think that's unrealistic at all. Now, will that stick? Probably not. But yeah, it is a mystery. I mean, we don't exactly know. I mean, what I was told from LGS owners was that, you know, I know some small LGSs and they're not getting a lot of this product. I mean, and they their first run is very, very small, and then there'll be a second wave and they don't know what's going to happen with the second wave. Larger stores or stores that have really strong relationships and buy a lot of product from their distributors are getting a larger first run, but there's still a big question mark as to how much exactly of this there is to go around. So,
yeah. How do you sell the boxes before they arrive at your house? I get a pre-order by Barnatog.
Well, similar to what you do with singles. If you have a platform that you can post them on, whether it be an eBay or Facebook, yeah, or whatnot. Well,
yeah, you're essentially doing your own pre-order, and then get the product, you ship it.
Right. You just need to caveat that you know the product's going to ship. It's not going to ship on the release date. It's going to ship, you know, several days before after you receive it.
Yeah, and then thanks for the other questions, Austin. Is it a good or bad idea to get a Horizon Canopy and Grove? I think we talked about that. Yeah. Is there anything else?
Lily of the Vandal will even get reprinted. Yeah. At this point, I don't know. I expected it to be in there, but now we're getting all kinds of stuff we had no expectation of. So I don't know if Liliana is going to be there. I would think that would still be a Chase Mythic, but I really have no idea either way. I can tell you like I said earlier in the cast, if it does not get reprinted, that thing is going to go above $100 very fast.
Yeah. I think that's all the questions. So, I mean, I think everyone has been listening and it's been awesome. I think some things out the door, again, that was a really great wrap up. So if you wanted to go back and listen to the specific segment, Tarkan, you wrapped that up great. I mean, that was perfect. So good job for the recap. And that's, again, I think we kind of both are on that, you know, an even ground there, and we both kind of agree. That's kind of the timeline of how things will shake out. I thought there was a rule against selling a product you didn't have in your hands, like on eBay or something. No. I mean, none of these stores have it in their hands when they're pre-ordering it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, a couple cards out the door. Again, we talked about Eidolon earlier in the day. It's going to be pretty hard, but I think if you can find a place that's still under $30, that's a pretty strong buy. It's just getting a ton of buzz. And, you know, as we go along, I will be updating. I think the cards that are excluded are going to be paramount, you know, like Gifts Ungiven, stuff like that. Like all those cards that are seeing a lot of play right now are just primed to increase once they are confirmed not to be in the set.
I mean, really, it's any staple that's not reprinted has opportunity here. Even, yeah. And the thing is even regardless of price point, you know, again, like particularly the first print, well, you know, one printing stuff like Liliana, even though the card is at $75 right now, that's going to go up if it doesn't get reprinted. Something like Karn, which is like $50-$60. I mean, that has the opportunity to continue to go up. So there's a lot of it's going to be really interesting to see how things shake out with this set. But obviously, the lower price point staples, the better. They had the more chance for opportunity typically. Something like an Eidolon or something like Gifts Ungiven. Again, we keep harping on that one. But if these things aren't reprinted, then you know there's a lot of opportunity for them.
Yeah, and you even brought it up last cast. Price memory is a.
Yep.
All right, Tarkan, we will do this tomorrow again. We'll do this live on Discord. Hope everyone enjoys this is going to be for the insiders only. So again, this was kind of just off the cuff. It's not a normal episode, but we will record again, the normal kind of structured cast. So thanks everyone for joining us. It's been awesome. Thanks for the questions, and we'll do this again tomorrow. Do we think Ugin will pop up as well, or is Karn a better play in Tron? Ugin's probably not going to be reprinted for a while. Karn is pretty doing well in modern right now.
Yeah, I think Karn's shown a little bit more results.
Yeah, I mean Ugin already increased considerable amount just beyond, you know, just from hype, but.
Yeah, Ugin's. I mean, this is sort of off topic. Ugin, I think, is just a great long term pickup. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trajectory on Ugin is just only going to be.
I think like that, all that Frontier hype kind of died down a little bit. So I don't know where Ugin kind of is sitting right now. But I do think it will pick up just naturally again because it's like a super all star A plus, like triple A EDH staple.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, 37 ish.
Future $50 card. Plus.
Yeah, 35, 40. I don't know how much meat is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be buying that. I wouldn't be buying that for short term. I would not be picking it up short term. But I mean, it's a great long term hold. I mean,
oh, just sold four Ugins today. Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
so there you go.
All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. Thanks everyone for joining us, Tarkan. We will do this again. This has been awesome.
Good. Thanks, guys.
More hype to wade through. Thanks, everyone.
All right. See ya.